The word of God is alive and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to dividing the center of the soul and the spirit, the joints and the marrow, to critical thoughts and intents of the heart. All scripture is God-breathed and is profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, instruction, and righteousness, that the man of God might be mature, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. We pick up in our study this evening in Genesis 26, where we will next tackle verses 7 through 11 as a unit. Isaac's version of "my wife is my sister" routine seems to be popular among the early patriarchs. All right, before we begin our study this evening, it behooves each and every one of us to make sure that we are in fellowship. We have dealt with our personal sin of life as we are before God, and as by employing the rebound technique, the application of 1 John 1:9, which was written to believers and for believers, so they could have fellowship with God, they could be in a state of spirituality, and otherwise be predisposed under the filling of God, the Holy Spirit, to be led and guided and directed to all truth, as well as all other aspects of life, operating in action with honor versus dishonor otherwise in that respect. So with that in mind, we'll give you an opportunity to rebound as we start from the normal word of prayer. Father, again, we thank you for your many grace and mercies. We thank you for all that you provide for us in regards to the grace apparatus perception, that you read our tapes. You know our volitional propensity and desire to know and understand you, and therefore have revealed to us the truth of your word under the conditions so prescribed by your word. We ask that you do so once again this evening, all via God the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, here in chapter 26, we have a change of scenario, as we have seen, because of a famine. Isaac relocates specifically to the capital city area of Gerar. The Philistines, of which the predecessor of the first Abimelech, the second Abimelech, the king, is obviously the ruler over this geographical region. His relocation there is based on divine advice given him by Yahweh. That is the Bible doctrine to maintain God's geographical will for his life, not to abandon it as his predecessor father Abraham did at one time in his life, but to stay the course, and that God would protect him and bless him otherwise in these conditions. So this is where he has moved to, as Gerar, this area of Philistia, is in within the proper boundaries of Canaan, as the abstract so indicated, in regards to the covenant promise being cut, agreement in that respect. And he has been there for a while, and an incident, and again, we see parallels going on here in regards to Abraham and now his son Isaac with respect to tests. First, the tests they passed that they've faced in the famine, and now in regards to the situation of the expression of their STA fear, otherwise in regards to their wives, which are similar. These parallels, it's designed to parallel the entire context, to also note parallels more subtly, but yet just as real in regards to the predecessor or the inheritor of the kingship of Gerar, the Philistia, this Abimelech in view, paralleling the time of his predecessor with Abraham, now a parallel with this one and Isaac during his lifespan in this regard, which, as we've already pointed out, certain things make sense that this is not the same Abimelech. And as we get further into it, we'll see, I think, that validated more and more. All right, so here, verses 7 through 11, we see that Rebekah was a very beautiful woman, as well as Isaac's mother, Sarah, was, and that he has the same STA grid of fear regarding his wife as his father Abraham did. So, verse 7, picks up here when the men of the place asked about his wife, that being Isaac's wife, Rebekah. You have the well consecutive. Our verb to ask is the calendar perfect third masculine plural, sha'al. S-H-A-A-L. Sha'al. And they asked, inquired. The men of the place, literally. The men is the noun, common masculine plural construct, ish. I-S-H. ISH. Follow the definite article, then our noun for place. Common masculine singular absolute, Macom, M-A-Q-O-M. About his wife. You have the preposition Lamed, followed with the common feminine singular noun constructed third masculine singular suffix, our word for wife, woman, Ishishah. I-S-H-S-H-A-H. He said, he responded, while consecutive, followed with our Kalam perfect third masculine singular, typical word to say, Amar, A-M-A-R. Literally, my sister is she. She is my wife. My sister is the common feminine singular construct noun with the first common singular suffix, Akoth, A-C-H-O-T-H. Follow with the pronoun, third feminine singular, he, which is she in the Hebrew, H-I-Y. And we are told why he responds in this fashion, for he was afraid, he was under sin fear, to say, my wife, thinking the men of the place might kill me on account of Rebekah, for she is beautiful. For he is afraid is the causal particle conjunction key, for because, K-I-Y. Our verb to fear is the cal perfect third masculine singular, yara, Y-A-R-A. To say is the infinitive, the cal verb preceded by the preposition lamed in the construct. Our verb again, amar, A-M-A-R, saying or afraid to say, my wife, again, our noun, ishishah, with the first common singular suffix. And then you have in the Hebrew the conjunction particle pen, P-E-N, which would be translated less. They will literally murder me or kill me. You have the cal perfect third masculine plural with the first common singular suffix, harag, H-A-R-A-G, to kill. Hence, obviously, in this situation would be murder. They will kill me, the men of the place, in the Hebrew, common masculine plural, construct ish, men, I-S-H. Definite article, Macomb, repeated of the place, common masculine singular noun, absolute. Then, on account of Rebekah, is a preposition all, followed with the proper noun, Rebekah. Will kill me over Rebekah, is the literal Hebrew, on account of. Makes sense either way. Then he gives another causal reasoning behind all this, because or for she is beautiful. You have the particle conjunction key again, K-I-Y. And then beautiful is the adjective feminine singular construct tov, T-O-V, in the Hebrew, good, followed with the common masculine singular absolute noun, our word for appearance, or looking, mar-eh, M-A-R-E-E-H, mar-eh. She is good. Appearance, in appearance is she, pronoun he, third feminine singular. In verse 8, and it came about when he had been there a long time. While consecutive, our verb to come about, came into existence, is our Kalim perfect third masculine singular, Hayah, H-A-Y-A-H. When is a conjunction key, another way it can be translated. Then you have the Kal perfect third common plural verb Arak, Arak, A-R-A-K. When they in length, literally for him the days, is the Hebrew, have been there a long time, is translated. Had been long would be the idea. They in length, preposition, third masculine singular, suffix lamed, for him, followed with the adverb sham, S-H-A-M, there, in that place. The days, definite article, then our noun yom, Y-O-M, common masculine plural absolute. That Abimelech, king of the Philistines, looked out through a window. While consecutive, then our verb to look out is the hifil imperfect third masculine singular, shakaf, S-H-Q-A-P-H, to look down, overlooked, looked out, insinuating he was at a higher elevation, which obviously would make sense for the ability to see here, but the Hebrew makes it clear he's a higher elevation. Our king here, Abimelech, the king of the Philistines, common masculine singular construct noun, Melech, king, M-E-L-E-K, followed with the proper noun, Philistines, through a window or an opening. You have the preposition Ba'ad, B-A-A-D. Then our word for a window is the definite article with the common both singular absolute noun, Cologne, C-H-A-L-L-O-N, literally means a hole, hence an opening or a window, as it might be. And saw and behold, Isaac was caressing his wife Rebekah. And saw, and he saw, while consecutive, then our verb, Kal imperfect third masculine singular, Ra'ah, R-A-A-H. And behold, obviously, this something he wasn't expecting to see, cruising out the window one day. While conjunction, interjectory particle, henna, H-I-N-N-E-H, exclamatory, behold, Isaac. And our verb translated was caressing is the PL, participle, masculine singular absolute, PL denoting, or the participle denoting continuous action, PL is emphatic, tisakak, T-A-T-S-A-C-H-A-Q, Yisakak, Isaac, tisakak, here our term, I would translate it, playing in fun. Obviously it has sexual overtones based on the context. Translated caressing is kind of a play on his name, which means laughter, fun, horsing around in a continuous fashion. Here with his wife, Rebekah, which is completely legitimate, nothing wrong with what he's doing here. Preposition at, except for it belies his ruse that he has been propagating. E-T-H-F with Rebekah, his wife, common feminine singular construct noun, third masculine singular suffix, Yishashah. Verse 9, then Abimelech called Isaac and said, behold, certainly she is your wife. How then do you say she is my sister? So this verse obviously reveals Abimelech knows who's in his kingdom. He knows who Isaac is. So we dealt with that earlier. I'm pointing these things out to validate, substantiate the direction I've gone with some of these things in the interpretation. So then Abimelech called Isaac. He had the wow consecutive. Our verb to call or call out is a Kal imperfect third masculine singular, Kara, Q-A-R-A. Abimelech, for Isaac, preposition lamed, proper noun Isaac. and said, while consecutive Cal and perfect third match singer Amar called out and said, called him front and center before the king, A-M-A-R. Certainly, his first word here, you have the adverb ad, A-D, surely or certainly, followed with the, again, introductory particle henna, H-I-N-N-E-H, certainly behold, an explanation of certain surprise and disbelief in regards to the situation. Your wife, Ishishah, the noun used here, common feminine singular construct, again, second masculine singular suffix, is she, pronoun he, third feminine singular. Vowel conjunction, then the question, interrogative, adverb, how is the word ek, E-Y-K, yek. Do you say, Cal, perfect, second masculine singular, again, our verb amar, to say, my sister, is she, our noun for sister, again, akoth, A-C-O-A-C-H-O-T-H, common feminine singular, construct first common singular suffix, he, pronoun, third feminine singular. And Isaac said to him, and he gives him the reason, doesn't lie about it at this point, because I said, lest I die on account of her. Wow, consecutive, our verb to say, amar, cal, imperfect, third masculine singular, typical construction. To him is the preposition el, E-L, third masculine singular. That being Isaac doing the speaking. Because is your conjunction particle key. K-A-Y. I said, K-I-Y. Again, amar, our verb, cal, perfect, first common singular. And then we have the verb translated here in this verse, our conjunction particle pen, lest, L-E-S-T, lest. I will die is the cal imperfect first common singular muth, M-U-T-H. On account of her is the preposition all or over her, A-L, again with the third feminine singular suffix. Verse 10, and Abimelech said, what is this you have done to us? While consecutive, he said, typical construction, amar, proper noun Abimelech. Then our interrogative pronoun here is ma, or question ma, what, M-A-H. Is this, is the adjective feminine singular zoth, Z-O-T-H. To do, or you have done, is a cal perfect second masculine singular, our verb asah, A-S-A-H. To us, preposition lamed with the first common plural suffix. Going on, obviously, the question is rhetorical. Gives him no time to respond. He goes on to express the consequences. One of the people might easily have lain with your wife, and you would have brought guilt upon us. You have the preposition kaf. If, that in the Hebrew, backwards C. Then you have the adjective masculine singular absolute, me'ath, M-E-A-T-H. Literally means few or little, diminished. Here, contextually, denotes something easily done, not complicated. A lot of obstacles to get over, few obstacles. Removed is the idea. With little thought is a way you could translate it, might easily, or with little thought on the person obviously involved. Then our verb to lay down with is the verb cal, perfect, third masculine singular, shakab, S-H-A-K-A-B. with little thought, he might have laid down with one of the people. Then in the Hebrew, you have the adjective masculine singular, construct ekad, E-C-H-A-D, cad, definite article or noun for people, am, A-M, common masculine singular, absolute. Then you have the sign of direct object to know who they would have laid down with. That is your wife, common feminine singular, construct ishishah, which is a second masculine singular suffix. And you would have brought guilt upon us. You have the wow consecutive. Then our verb to bring, cause to bring, is the hifil perfect second masculine singular verb bo, B-O. Upon us is the preposition all over us or upon us. Preposition on account of us. You can say it that way too. First common plural suffix all, A-L. Then our noun for guilt is a common masculine singular absolute, asham, A-S-H-A-M. Verse 11, so Abimelech charged all the people, saying, he who touches this man or his wife shall surely be put to death. Obviously, as you might have already picked up on, the idea of fornication was no big thing in this society. One of the people might have easily laid down with her. See? So these are little things you got to pick up on, recognizing what's going on overall, what you're dealing with. I was going to tell you that when I was going through the verse, and I forgot. I remembered. Yay. Verse 11, so Abimelech charged all the people, saying, wow, consecutive, and our verb to command or charge here is a PL, imperfect third masculine singular, tasawa, T-S-A-W-A-H. We saw the cognate word for commandment in the previous verses. And he commanded or charged, that being Abimelech, doing the charging, sign a direct object, and then all the people. You have a common masculine singular construct noun, kol, K-O-L. The people, definite article, are noun, am, A-M, common masculine singular, absolute. Saying is a preposition, laman, again, here in the form of the cal, with the form of the cal, infinitive, construct, amar, A-M, A-M-A-R. he who touches. He who touches is a definite article with followed with the cal participle verb, masculine singular, absolute, naga, N-A-G-A. The one touching puts a hand on, you might say, he who touches. On this man, literally, you have the preposition bet, followed with a definite article and a common masculine singular noun, absolute ish. So, in regards to Isaac, I-S-H, the king gives him protection, as well as his wife. And this particular man, obviously, he's the only one that's under this ruling. Only one person or two people here. That's followed with the demonstrative adjective, masculine singular, definite article, Zeh, this one, Z-E-H. And wow conjunction upon or on his wife, preposition bet, followed here again with ishishah with the third masculine singular suffix, again ish shah, his wife. Then you have the expression in the Hebrew, dying will be caused by being put to death. You had a cal infinitive absolute, muth, double use of muth, our verb here, M-E-U-T-H, followed with, then with the hafal form of muth, imperfect third masculine singular. Hafal is causative passive, will be caused by being put to death. So in other words, you will be executed. Capital punishment will come down on your head if you violate this charge or this command. That's the idea. All right. rereading the verses here. Verse 7, when the men in the place asked about his wife, he, Isaac, said, my sister is she. For he was afraid to say, my wife, lest they will kill me, the men of the place, on account of Rebekah, for she is good looking, beautiful. Verse 8, and it came about when he had been there in Gerar a long time. So a period of time obviously has passed. We're talking weeks, months into the situation. That Abimelech, king of the Philistines, looked down over his kingdom, out through a window, and saw, and behold, Isaac was playing in fun with his wife, Rebekah. Verse 9, then Abimelech called Isaac and said, behold, surely she is your wife. How then did you say she is my sister? And Isaac said to him, because I said, lest I die on account of her. In verse 10, and Abimelech said, what is this you have done to us? One of the people might easily have lain with your wife, and you would have brought guilt upon us. Verse 11, so Abimelech charged all the people, saying, he who touches this man or his wife shall surely be put to death. All right, the analysis here of our parallel event of she is my sister routine, verses 7 through 11. Isaac and Rebekah settled in their new residence of Gerar as resident aliens. That was verse 6. This becomes a place where God has directed them as a place, a habitat, to ride out the period of the famine, as it would obviously would provide an area that would be economically more prosperous, water would be available, and all the other things to escape, obviously, the catastrophic situation, if left otherwise unchecked, of remaining in the wilderness area in the Negev under these conditions. So they settled down in their new residence of Gerar as resident aliens. And they remember they're visitors in this land. They're not citizens. Two, the famine, verse 1, which initiated all this, was the catalyst behind it all, endured for an unspecified amount of time that was obviously lengthy in duration. Per verse 8, when he had been there a long time, ki arak lamed sham ha yom. So that phrase tells us the famine obviously was not just a brief one. It had longevity to it, as well as letting us know that he's obviously settled down, has established some roots of recognition and of being where he's at in this particular location. So three, as with his father, Abraham, Isaac had a fear trend as it related to his beautiful wife, being the catalyst for his murder by others, desiring her for themselves. Fear is probably one of the most common trends among men. People can fear itself. It's just one of those things that you're going to run across, generally, with people. And Isaac, just like his dad, had certain areas of fear, and it, with both of them, is centered on their lives as it pertains to a fear of losing their wife to another that would kill him for her. While we may think that's odd, is not so odd as times of war, etc., obviously have produced a lot such heinous types of approaches in regards to the female population and disregard for marriage, etc., otherwise. So Abraham, he got under sin fear because of Sarah. Sarah, even at an advanced age, 90 plus years, was enough to be eye candy for the common male, or any male, that might see her in regards to lust or desire to have her for themselves. And we see a similar situation that Rebecca, likewise, was beautiful, desirous in regard to her appearance, as it would be common among society and males at the time of Isaac. And both husbands, and you can understand, a wife can stimulate certain emotions that other situations may not. You know, even though they may deal with the same ultimate end result, death. And here you have it, regards to husbands to wives, and the idea of them being beautiful. When the Bible says they are beautiful, it means they are beautiful. They're not some tattooed up skank, you know, running around that people look at and think are beautiful today. I don't know what else to call it. Yeah. No, when the Bible says someone's pretty or beautiful or good looking, it means that they were knockouts. See, and in that regards, so Isaac, he gets under sin fear. He's living in a foreign land, and the whole situation smacks, at least implicitly, that to go in and hijack a female in this way and to kill off the old man so they could have him for themselves was not an uncommon practice among societies at the time. We dealt with it to a certain degree, obviously, with the first Abimelech in that regards. And it comes out even more so. So, to give both patriarchs the benefit of the doubt, when obviously Abraham, both in Egypt as well as in Gerar, it was something that you had to be on guard for, living in a foreign land otherwise, where others may not know you, and somehow you just mysteriously disappeared. See? And former wife becomes available for another's property, if you will, in that regards. So the references to Abraham, chapter 12, 11 through 13, and 21 through 2, both the Egypt and Gerar situations. 4, now that both the kings of Egypt and the Philistines during Abraham's time sought to acquire Sarah in the Abraham episodes suggests that the immediate danger was from the more powerful elite that could eliminate the threat of capital punishment in such an event, such as the king. So, this is how you would envision it. This went on because there were certain people of power that practiced this for themselves. And hence, it might otherwise be a blind eye, as others may engage in the same type of activity by those who are otherwise in charge of executing or carrying out a law against it otherwise. And so that you have both the king of Egypt and Abimelech going after women. You can see that women was a trophy to a certain degree to these Gentiles and their societies. And they would be in charge of overruling otherwise and that they might practice such a thing opens the doors for others. That's point five. This would provide open doors for others to make a, quote, hit, end quote. You can use that in a couple ways there. On behalf of an authority to ingratiate themselves and or otherwise acquiring a bride for oneself if she was rejected. You can see how it could easily work into it. The king, he's always on the lookout for a nice single woman. A nice, beautiful one, whether single or not. And some kings probably didn't care. We're dealing with kings, otherwise it did with the Abimelechs. And they were to be single. And even that in and of itself, obviously someone of lower status saw someone really good looking, a foreigner, they're foreigners. Go in and wipe out the old man and say, hey, you know, this is, I'm doing this on behalf of the king. This is someone I think he'd really like in his harem. You know, you can see how it worked out. And if the king didn't like her, well, chances are he'll give him back to me. And she's mine, see. So, I don't know, maybe I've got a twist of mind. I'm able to think through these things and figure it out how it would work. But, you know, you can thank God, God the Holy Spirit, because now I can explain it to you. Six, that this type of legal meandering was a common practice in certain societies explains why later in our context that the king issued the law, verse 11. The law that he hands down, as we saw, is you don't touch Isaac and his wife. It doesn't say anything about anybody else. So this keeps the doors open for something that would obviously might be otherwise commonly accepted in society. Continue on, but not in this case. Not in this case. And we'll discuss why here in our notes. Seven, now no matter the practice of the people, the reality is both patriarchs failed to faith rest the situation. And Isaac, mimicking his father, responded to any men of the place that asked about his wife by lying that she was his sister. Sha'al Yishha Makom Lamed Yishasha Akoth. So, again, based on the argument of silence, where did he pick this up at? I think it's from Abraham. I think the patriarchs spoke to their children, handed down the history of their own histories, and he didn't, you know, gloss over things. And Isaac goes, well, it's one of the dangers out here. Dad did it. God graced him out. Whereas before, with the doctrine, God directly intervening, he had halted his SCA going the wrong direction. Here, you don't see that intervention. And now he gets under a sin fear himself and seeks to employ a ruse that has worked in the past with the family. So, eight, the verb was afraid, yara in the Hebrew. It makes clear the sin in view that initiated the second sin, lying. So, here with one sin, as it often is, it produces another sin behind it. Fear produces here lying. Why you need to catch the sin, you know, in the mental attitude as soon as possible, so that it doesn't domino into another series of further sins down the line. So, the verb was afraid makes clear the sin in view that initiated the second sin, which was lying, that she was his sister. And he's not even as closely related as Abraham was with Sarah. As we know, she was his sister. But not in the case of Rebecca. So, again, it's just logical to me that he picked this up from the history of his father. So, nine, now while sin fear was inexcusable for both father and son, it is especially reprehensible for Isaac, whom God had just told that he would be with him and bless him prior to departure in verses 2 through 5. God gave him divine guidance. At first he gave him the exhortation, don't go to Egypt. This is the doctrine. Stay within my geographical will. Do this. You're not violating that. And I will bless you. And all you do, both phase 2, phase 3, based on the phase 1 realities of your father Abraham and the promises of covenant based on his what he's done in the past and blessing by association. So, not to excuse Abraham, which we don't, in regards to the sin at hand. For Isaac, it seems to be a little more onerous in regards to his action. That he hasn't left the promised land. He went where God told him. Why should he now doubt God in protecting him and blessing him? So, but that is the way the SCA is. You let it get a hold of you. You can hear doctrine one minute, next minute be under your SCA, and you wonder, did I hear the doctrine or did I not? Ten, we see here that as with Sarah, Rebecca was quite a looker. For the phrase, she is beautiful, Tob Marehi. Marehi. Eleven, and now that they could have resided in a place for so long a time and not revealed that they were man and wife is fairly remarkable. They concocted this plan. We're not given the details like we was with Abraham of boarding with his wife with the scheme to do this. But the fact that they lived there a long time before their ruse or their lie was uncovered is quite remarkable. So at 12, we are not told how the scheme was initiated between husband and wife, as we were with Abraham in 12:11-13, when he approaches Sarah and says, say that you're my sister when we're in this situation. Go with me on this one, see. Paraphrasing. But it is logical that it is with the knowledge of the events of Abraham and Sarah's excursions, as I have been stating. 13, there is some merit here to suggest they figured it worked for them with resulting deliverance and they would just follow an example. Again, the attitude, God grace out mom and dad, why not us? This is the way we'll handle it, rather than just taking the doctrine and applying it in his stead. Again, the energy of the flesh is so easy to slip into fear, and we're not to, even under immediate danger. But as things go, and doctrine's out the window, and it's energy of the flesh that is now operating. And you can still be rationalizing that God's with you otherwise. See? That's why you've got to stay in fellowship, why you've got to stay on top of your sin nature and reprogram your mind with a divine viewpoint of life. Don't let human viewpoint come in and start rationalizing and messing up the doctrine otherwise. Sometimes you just got to sit down and look at the basic elements of the doctrine of the test at hand. To, get through, if you will, kind of unravel maybe the complexity of a test otherwise, to see what directions to go and make sure you're not operating under some human viewpoint premise, rather than, okay, now what I really should be doing here is putting my trust in God and just going on with my life, see, and wait for Him to make the deliverance. If push comes to shove, God will provide a way to deliver. See, obviously, we're not denying certain applications. If he needs to carry a staff with a hidden dagger in the bottom of it to protect him and his wife, fine. I was going to argue that. Christ said, you got two robes, sell one, buy a sword, you know, defend yourself. Yeah, but otherwise, see. And obviously, this situation is not one of really defense. It is a scheme, and really, it's kind of arrogant in and of itself. With respect to passing on this lie, and it doesn't dismiss all the other aspects of really Isaac's disposition towards his wife, both men, belittling them rather than just being a man and standing up and trusting God to take care of their wives otherwise. And of course the wives go along with it. You go, well, why would they do that? Well, they were obedient women, you know. That was their rationale. But anyway, we're not told all the thought processes that are involved. So obviously you can think as many things as I can think of, or probably more, in this whole scheming. But it does at least have the elements of like father, like son. God grace him out. He'll do the same with us. So 14, this fits with a remarkable period of grace emphasizes attendant to their situation before their ruse was exposed. They were there a long time before they got exposed, found out for their scheme. That shows that God graced them out for a long time with their lying. So the whole aspect of grace, being graced out, etc., fits within the portfolio of time a lot of them before they again are found out by Abimelech. So 15, God graced him out by keeping secret their identity, being further safeguarded by those that might have otherwise known the truth over an extended period of time. You got to figure people in the household knew. So, you know, this went on for a long time. It looks like God's greased their skids, graced them out. And he is. He's gracing them out. But as he does with all of us, he may grace us out, give us a time to otherwise reconsider, get our act together. But if we continue to insist, persist in rejection of doctrine or rebelling against doctrine, sooner or later, we will be called to task. And so it is, as it was, in regards to both the patriarchs, Abraham, and now Isaac. So 16, that as it is with both sets of couples, their sinful actions are eventually called to task and exposed. Yeah, it could have been, the matters could have been a lot worse in either case. But they were as they were. And again, God's with them, God's blessing them, they're positive, they're messing up, but it doesn't mean that their niche is over, their life is over. God continues to protect them, but not without the humility of being exposed as a really rotten witness when it comes to the truth of the matter, to put it quite bluntly. So 17, Isaac, like his father, was suspicious of the morals of the men in this region, and maybe with some cause. We'll give him that. 18, during this time of deceit, Rebekah was exposed to male interest. Yet nothing ever happened toward her, violating her chastity. So as time went on, he should have really felt more comfortable, if nothing else. Now, God's protecting us. There's really no sense in extending this scheme, this lie. And her chastity, her fidelity is preserved, her honor, etc. So 19, it becomes apparent that his fears were without any real basis. But the problem you have a lot of times when you get involved in a lie is trying to undo that lie, and coming clean becomes more difficult as time passes on. And that's kind of the idea that I've captured here out of the text. time went on, it was a long time. And they were habitually set in their way of lying and scheming in this regards, even though it becomes apparent that what fear he had was without basis. Now, you have another aspect that jumps in. Well, I don't want my reputation tarnished that I'm a liar. What you going to do now? So you can see, getting under your SGA just makes things more difficult, more complicated than what they would have been done with if you had kept it isolated, just taken the doctrine, went with the doctrine. Went with the flow of doctrine, went with the flow of the SGA. The SGA does really make things a hell of a lot more complicated than they need to be, generally speaking. So the fear is really without any basis. And as it is, and as was even in regards to Abraham and Abimelech. Now the Pharaoh, that might have been a little different. But he was out of God's geographical will, and it kind of reflects that the danger is a lot more in that situation. But anyway, 20, the Philistines of his day, Isaac's, as well as Abraham, were peaceable types and for the most part adhered to better moral values than maybe some of their neighbors. Even though it doesn't mean that their morals were right on, without issues. 21, again, as with the previous Abimelech episode, you can't always judge the book by its cover. You don't know what you're always going to walk into. So, again, that's why it's important just to take doctrine, going up with doctrine. What's the application of the doctrine? See? And that God reveal the proper avenues to take otherwise if situations do arise. Take what legitimate doctrinal precautions you can. And then faith rest. See. If this indeed is where God wants you to be, etc., etc. The previous Abimelech episode, and by all indication, those of that generation seem to have some positive volition involved with them. So, God had to intercede to turn around an otherwise bad witness on behalf of Abraham. But he does. Again, it just goes to show that salvation is not dependent on us. Thank God. And things come around otherwise. But where does that leave one in their witness and their reputation of witness otherwise? It tarnishes it. It's just the way it is. 22, the couple's con, their ruse, comes to light as time passed on. And it usually is when trying to keep up a front for an extended period, they get careless. You can just see they've been unfolding. They've been passing off Rebecca as his sister for a long time. But yet they're married. And they can't deny their attraction and feelings legitimately as husband and wife towards one another. And one day, they're out there on the street corner, naked, making a scene in front of everybody. No, not really. That's not what they were doing. Just seeing if you're still awake. No, one day, it gets the best of them, as it can between married couples on occasion. And they start messing around. Now, they don't think that they're not doing it in public. They don't think they're being watched, but they're not taking into account as someone at a higher elevation that has a sniper scope looking around down there going, oh, I wonder what's going on today. So they, obviously, Abimelech doesn't have a sniper scope, but he is in position of being at a higher elevation, as his palace might be, where he is at, to look down upon the surrounding area and see down over obstructions otherwise that on ground level may otherwise keep someone completely sealed and protected from eyes, roaming eyes. But on this occasion, God sets up a situation where that doesn't work. Father, again, we thank you for the truth of your word. We ask God, the Holy Spirit, continue to light these things in Jesus' name. Amen.